from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Thursday. Happy Thursday, folks. It is November 20th. We've got a great show in store for you all. Michigan State, man, did they put up a fight against Notre Dame last night at the Breslin Center. Man, it was a fun game to watch. It was a fun game to sort of look at how Ariel Powers just seems to be getting better and better with each and every game. And, you know, this is against, you know, one of the top, you know, three or two teams in the nation here. Notre Dame, this is what we're talking about here, folks. And Michigan State definitely put themselves in position to win it. We'll recap that game and encourage you all to call in and weigh in on it if you attended it. We'll also go into our current sports time machine like we do each and every Thursday and take a look at what happened in sports history on this Thursday. That's right, Throwback Thursday is what we like to dub it. We'll dive into the Detroit Pistons and what is going on with them. And is it fair to bash the Cleveland Cavaliers at this point, you know, with the acquisition of LeBron James? All of that and so much more, folks, including DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker and producer of Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter here on Current Sports. He's going to talk about a very cool, monumental moment in his life, folks. You don't want to miss that. But before we get to all of that jazz, here's my man, Eric Steen, with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Hi, welcome to Current Sports. This is Eric Steen, and here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for November 20th, 2014. The Pistons lost to the Phoenix Suns 88-86 last night, missing two shots in the final 6 seconds that could have tied or won the game. The Pistons erased an 8-point deficit with 2 minutes to play, but Eric Bledsoe's layup with 20 seconds left in the game put the Suns ahead to stay. Brandon Jennings led all scorers with 19 points on 7-for-19 shooting, including 1-of-9 from the three-point line. Greg Monroe contributed a double-double with 18 points and 12 boards in the defeat. This is the Pistons' third three-game losing streak, only 12 games into the season. Jeffrey Taylor of the Charlotte Hornets was suspended 24 games without pay by the NBA after he pleaded guilty to misdemeanor domestic violence assault and malicious destruction of hotel property, following an incident with a woman that led to an arrest in East Lansing in September. According to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, quote, "This suspension is necessary to protect the interests of the NBA and the public's confidence in it. Mr. Taylor's conduct violates applicable law and, in my opinion, does not conform to standards of morality and is prejudicial and detrimental to the NBA. The Lady Spartans fell to number 3 ranked Notre Dame last night, 71-63. The Spartans led 30-29 at halftime, but gave up 42 points in the second half in the defeat. Jewel Lloyd led the Irish with 28 points and 11 rebounds, while the Spartans were led by Ariel Powers, whose 27 points and 11 boards led the Spartans in the loss. According to a new database put together by USA Today Sports, Mark D'Antonio is the second highest paid coach in all of college football, earning $5.6 million this year. The average NFL head coach salary is $4.85 million a year. D'Antonio trails only Alabama's Nick Saban, whose $7.2 million salary for 2014 is less than only three NFL head coaches. The Mason girls volleyball team gave third-ranked Grand Haven everything they could handle before falling in 4 sets in the Class A volleyball quarterfinals at Portage Northern on Wednesday night. The Bulldogs won the first set 25-22, but lost the next three 25-21, 25-15, and 25-23. To finish their season with a record of 42-11-1. Mason's great year earned them their first ever Class A regional title. The Detroit Red Wings placed rookie forward Andrej Nestrezel on waivers yesterday. Nestrezel had no goals, 3 assists, and a -3 rating in 13 games this year. If he clears by noon Thursday, he will be assigned to the Grand Rapids Griffins. The move was made to clear a roster spot for center Steven Weiss, who needed to be activated before playing for the Griffins Friday in Lake Erie during a conditioning stint. Weiss, who's been out since late October when he injured his groin in a game with the Griffins, has been practicing for more than a week. The Red Wings will decide after Friday's game whether Weiss will also play for Grand Rapids on Saturday. This weekend, linebacker Tyreek Thompson of Detroit Martin Luther King High School, defensive lineman Raquan Williams of DePaul College Prep in Chicago, and wide receiver Daryl Stewart of Nimitz High School in Houston will travel to MSU for official recruiting visits. Thompson has already committed to Michigan State and will enroll in school in January. He is currently ranked the number 43 outside linebacker in the nation by Rivals.com. Williams, ranked nationally as the number 25 strong side defensive end, is returning to East Lansing, this time with family to explore opportunities after previously visiting during Michigan weekend. Williams has been offered a number of scholarships from other Big Ten teams as well. Stewart has flown under the radar of many recruiting services due to making an early commitment to Boise State. He has since reopened his recruitment, and Michigan State is now viewed as his top choice. All right, those are your quick hit headliners for November 20th, 2014. Now back to Al for the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric. Appreciate that, my man. Our phone lines are open. They will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m. throughout this entire show, just like we do each and every Monday through Friday here on Current Sports WKR AM 870. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we discuss, debate on, or anything that we talk about, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, in addition, just one extended headliner here. How about Michigan Tech hockey, folks? Michigan Tech is off to the best start in the program's 94-year history. Is the only undefeated team left in Division I hockey. How about that? They are 10-0. The Huskies are, you know, they were unranked, actually, in the preseason poll. They have climbed to the number one spot, numero uno, folks, in the USA Today and USA Hockey magazine poll. They haven't been ranked number one since 1976. How about that? That is fantastic stuff. Michigan Tech turning some heads, doing something that wasn't even expected, unranked in the preseason polls, folks, and now they are top dog in the world of Division I hockey. That is something else. Hats off to Michigan Tech. Man, oh, man, we have a great show in store for you. Just a minute, we're going to bring on definitely a dear friend of Current Sports. He has been doing one outstanding job, not just here on the show. We used to have a segment here where which is in reboot right now. We're actually bringing it back, but it was entitled Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. DeAndre Carter is a motivational speaker right here on the campus of Michigan State University. I remember when I first saw DC speak when I was actually a freshman in college, and I'm like, oh my gosh, after he got done talking, I could take over the world. I said I could do anything I want to do. I mean, he's unbelievable, man. Just a guy who is just filled with positive energy and is one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life. But he's doing some great things. He's been getting a lot of attention, not just in this area, but, you know, in areas all across the state of Michigan that has led him to now produce his own book. That's right. He has a book coming out entitled The Greatness Movement. He's going to tell us all about it. Also, if you don't know about DC, we'll dive into how he got into motivational speaking, how it translates to athletics, and he's a pretty big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so we'll bring that up too and talk about how Le'Veon Bell, former MSU running back, is how he's doing for his team. And if you haven't heard, I don't know if you saw this, Alex, but did you see LeGarrette Blount? LeGarrette Blount is now playing for his former team, the New England Patriots, because he got a little salty of what took place on Monday night. Of course, the Steelers were in action, and Le'Veon Bell, oh man, he was a workhorse. Over 200 yards, he hit a career mark in his rushing yardage for his career, which is in his infancy right now. He's in his second year in the NFL, but man, looked really, really good. And then, you know, LeGarrette Blount, he actually left the game early because he was upset that he didn't get any carries. He felt as though, man, you know, he was just mad about it. So the team decided, all right, you're out of here. They released him on Tuesday, and now he is with Tom Brady and company playing for the New England Patriots now. But I tell you what, though, DC is a huge, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. If you ever run into him, he's either rocking the Pittsburgh Steelers hat, shirt, something black and gold is on that man on a daily basis. All right, so we'll invite DC. We'll also be talking about the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, the Pistons, they fell in another last minute loss The Phoenix Suns, this time, the Pistons lose by 2 points. It's not like the Pistons are getting blown out here, folks. They just can't close out games. Simple as that. So we'll dive into it, and you can give your thoughts again on what exactly is going on with the Pistons, and will they get better and turn this thing around? And, you know, is it fair? I know it's early here. You know, LeBron James has been in action for quite, well, I wouldn't say quite some time. Now, this is still, again, this is still the early parts of the NBA season. But LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, if they lose one game, I mean, it's like the top headliner nationally. Cavaliers fall to Charlotte. Cavaliers fall to the Lakers, whoever it may be. That will never happen to the Lakers, though. They are terrible. But whatever loss the Cleveland Cavaliers have, I mean, it just gets amplified times 20 because LeBron James, the best player in the game, has decided, to return to Cleveland, and the expectations are through the roof now. I feel as though there are many people out there that feel as though the Cleveland Cavaliers should win the NBA championship right now. No, this is going to take some time. So I want to just throw the questions out there. Again, we'll be debating this later on in the show. How fair is it to bash the Cleveland Cavaliers this early in the season? This early, folks. So we'll talk about that as well. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We start today's show off by, of course, talking about the action that took place last night at the Breslin Center, 7 p.m. tip-off, Michigan State taking on Notre Dame. Man, oh man, if you know anything about Notre Dame in the realm of women's college basketball, you know that this program has been good for quite some time now. They have produced, you know, WNBA talent left and right. They are always amongst one of the best teams in the nation. Final Four appearances up the woozah. This team is good. Good, folks. It's like, you know, if you want to compare it to the men's basketball scene, they're like a Duke. They're like a Michigan State if you want to compare it to men's basketball. They are one of those teams that are always in the conversation. So the Spartans, you know, coming into this game, ranked, 15th in the national polls around there. And, you know, they're coming in as the underdog, the clear underdog here. Last year, Michigan State played Notre Dame. They lost by 19 points. They wanted to come in this game, and they had a sort of a chip on their shoulder coming into this game. Now, I want to point out a moment that I did not know took place until talking with Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska after the game. I was sitting there talking to Ariel, getting my report ready, interviewing Ariel Powers, and I had asked her about, you know, just the overall outlook from the Spartans when taking on Notre Dame. Did you guys look at it as a David and Goliath matchup or a Goliath and a Goliath matchup? Did you guys believe the entire time you could run with this team and make it competitive, which they did? And Ariel brought up a moment that took place actually before the game even started. It was during pregame warmups. Michigan State is warming up on one side of the court. Notre Dame is warming up on the other side of the court, you know, stretching, taking shots. And Ariel said that she noticed that Notre Dame sort of had the demeanor of just kind of a lackadaisical attitude. Sort of like, you know, they got this one in the bag, you know, just real lazy, not going 100%. And, you know, Ariel said, in contrast to them, I mean, in warmups, they are going all out. They're trying to break that sweat and get ready for the game. But they notice a different mood on the other end of the court. So Ariel, you know, told me that, yeah, they looked at it as disrespect. Quote, unquote, disrespect is the word that she used. And even talking with Tori, you know, Tori said the same thing. You know, they said they glanced over on the court and they said, okay, they're not taking us serious at this point. Let's go out there and make them take us serious. So, you know, from that moment on, a certain tone, a certain chip on the shoulder was enacted. And, you know, that's what Michigan State thrives on. Michigan State, I don't care what sport you're talking about, Michigan State loves the underdog mentality. I mean, you could talk about the men's basketball team. They you know, even at media day, I'm asking them, do they like flying under the radar as opposed to being ranked number one in the country like they were last year? They like floating under the radar. They like proving the nation wrong. They like doing that. The football team is the same way. They thrive off of, they try to look for those underdog articles, that underdog chatter that gets them going. It makes them play with the chip on their shoulder out there. Michigan State women's basketball is no exception, folks. They love that. They thrive off of that, and they certainly did last night. So once that moment took place, I mean, I tell you what, the Spartans competed throughout that entire game. There was not one moment in that game where Michigan State allowed Notre Dame to get on a huge run and to make it, you know, an out-of-reach moment. Michigan State hung with one of the top five teams in the entire nation. That says a lot about this squad. And I want to bring up one player in particular. You guys already know. I mean, she, just to see her, and I remember watching her freshman year last year and saying to myself, wow, she's pretty talented. She is very, very talented. There were moments here and there where, you know, she could get a bit of erratic and turn the ball over and still was still learning the game. She still had a few freshman tendencies. But man, oh man, I mean, her drive, her work ethic, her toughness resembled that of a senior, folks. I'm talking about Ariel Powers. She put on a performance that I probably will never forget when talking about, you know, the Spartan women's basketball program. Playing a top-tier team like Notre Dame and to put up, what, 27 points last night? I mean, that is unbelievable. 27 points, 11 rebounds. She had 3 assists, 1 block. I mean, when the Spartans needed a bucket, when the Spartans needed a moment to keep them in the game, or even on the defensive end, too, and I'll bring up another moment that really stood out to me when it came to Ariel Powers. But when they needed something, Ariel Powers delivered. She is a kid who's so athletic. She, you know, she can hit that 15-footer. She can knock it down from 3. She's got a good first step. Something I didn't even notice that you can also talk about is her crossover. She has this low crossover that she can put on you where she fakes like she's going one way and then puts the ball real low, impossible to swipe at and steal. Man, she has a polished game, and she is only going to get better, folks, game after game after game as the season goes on. And, you know, again, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. I love not only Powers, you know, doing her thing on the offensive end of the ball, but I also want to bring up Tori Jankowska, too. I mean, Tori Jankowska is a player who, again, you know, she has some of those same attributes as Ariel. I mean, she can hit that outside jumper. You know, she can, you know, take you off the dribble and get inside the paint. I think Tori is a very, very good on-the-break player. In transition, it is very hard to guard Tori Jankowska, and she always makes the right decision, whether that be dishing it off to a teammate on the wing for an easy layup or taking it herself and either getting a foul or making the bucket. I think she is a fantastic transition player, but it is really cool to see the tandem of Powers and Jankowska, you know, a double-duty offensive weaponry that I haven't seen since covering the MSU women's basketball team. I mean, it is really cool to watch. I mean, in past years, you probably had, you know, I can go back to, you know, Clarissa Bell. I mean, Clarissa Bell became the offensive juggernaut for the team. Jasmine Thomas, she was also one. But, you know, they didn't do it in tandem. Either, you know, Jasmine Thomas had a big night or Clarissa Bell had a big night. I mean, game after game, we're seeing so far, again, this is a small sample size, seeing as though this is, you know, the second game in the regular season. But you're starting to see a consistent tandem, Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska both putting up numbers in the same game with one another. And, you know, Ariel talked about how their chemistry is certainly growing as the season goes on and as they get to know each other more, not on the court, but off of it as well. She talked about how they're very good friends off the court, and off the court chemistry is leading to on the court chemistry. So you got to love that. I thought another key moment going against Notre Dame, a big reason why the Spartans were able to hang in this game was, you know, getting Breonna Turner. You know, that was the player who I harped on yesterday talking with Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal. Breonna Turner completely shattered the record, the scoring record for a freshman in her debut with the Notre Dame women's basketball team. She had 29 points against UMass Lowell. And, you know, she had everybody talking about, oh, my gosh, I mean, how are the Spartans going to contain her in the paint? I mean, she's so polished, so big, so savvy. But the Spartans had a game plan, folks. And Susie, you got to give credit to Susie Merchant. She's a fantastic basketball mind. She was able to, and, you know, to get Breonna Turner in foul trouble early. It seemed as though there was an added incentive on getting the ball down low to the bigs, letting them attack Breonna, and sort of baiting her to see if, you know, they could get fouls on her. And that's exactly what happened. Breonna Turner got into foul trouble early in the first half, had to sit out with a lot of time left in that first half, And, you know, she didn't get going until the beginning of the second half when they made it a point to get her the ball and to get her involved in the offense, which she did. I mean, Breonna Turner, you know, she had a fantastic game. If you look at the numbers here, 17 points, she went 5 for 10. But, again, that early foul trouble is what allowed MSU to stay in that game and to make it very competitive. Now, you know, there was a moment, again, going back to Powers, just to talk about the toughness of this Spartan team, because that's something I also want to harp on when talking to the players in the postgame presser. This Michigan State women's basketball team, folks, is as tough as nails. As tough as nails. I mean, nothing seems to rattle them. They didn't get awed by playing a top five team. They feel as though they can go to a Final Four. And that's the goal right now. You know, that's what Ariel said after the game. You know, she believes that if they can hang with Notre Dame, a team that has gotten to the Final Four in recent years and is always in that discussion, hey, this team can hang with anybody. And that is certainly true. And, you know, just to sort of capsulate that toughness, there was a moment in that game where Ariel Powers actually, you know, matched up against, you know, with the 6'3" Breonna Turner. And Ariel Powers held her ground. She guarded her. There was a moment there with 8 minutes left. You know, she's guarding Breonna Turner. Breonna, you know, she realizes she has a quote-unquote mismatch. They throw the ball into her. Ariel Powers pokes it away. It's stolen. The ball goes back to Powers on the break. Breonna Turner does a great job of getting back on defense and transition. But Ariel Powers throws up a floater right over her reach, nails it, nothing but the bottom of the net. That is going right after one of the best players in the nation and showing that we can compete with anybody. That was one of the most impressive moments that I saw throughout that entire game. That moment right there sort of capitalized. This team is not going to back down from anybody. And I love it. You know, they were physical. You know, there were a lot of bodies on the hardwood on both ends of the floor, too. I mean, Notre Dame, I mean, yeah. They, you know, defensively, I mean, there were moments where they amped it up. And that was the key to the game for me. I mean, they amped it up, and Michigan State had some costly turnovers that led to a few runs for Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. So, you know, it was physical on both sides of the ball, but, you know, I thought that Michigan State hung with them because of that physicality and matching that physicality that Notre Dame had. It sort of set a tone. So room of improvement for this team. You know, I would like to see more post-scoring from Jasmine Hines and Becca Mills in the paint. I think they can certainly improve on that. That, you know, a front court presence isn't that great for this team right now. Jasmine Hines is a player who I think has tremendous upside. You know, she's got her physique is one that can certainly be intimidating for many opponents out there because she's big. She can back you down. She's very strong, and you know she's got this little hook that she has, this spin hook that she has that can be very, very dangerous. Becca Mills, big player who can take you outside or inside. She can be dangerous on so many aspects. So I would like to see not only, you know, just imagine, you know, if Powers continues to play the way she is, if Jankowska continues, you know, to be efficient also on the offensive end, and they combine that with, you know, two post players who can be a consistent presence down low. I mean, my goodness, just imagine where this team could go. Turnovers. Turnovers consistently to be a problem with this team so far this year. They had some trouble with it in game one against Eastern. Eastern put on that full court press, which Notre Dame did also throughout this game. Well, I wouldn't say throughout it, but you know there were moments, you know, a few moments, especially in the second half, where Notre Dame enacted that full court press. Michigan State certainly handled it better this time around than they did against the Eagles on Sunday. But the turnovers have to be better. 16 turnovers for Michigan State in comparison to just six from Notre Dame. In games like these, those things can be amplified. The little things are amplified. Michigan State has to take care of the ball. Simple as that. Other players in a role in an identity with this team. I think the Jasmine Lumpkin. You know, I think she can be a player. Jasmine Lumpkin is actually a player who started last night for the Spartans. You know, she showed that she's a player who can come in and give you some solid minutes. She actually had 9 points. She went 4 for 10, 3 rebounds. I really think she's going to improve as the season goes on for him. I think that Anna Morrissey, you know, as someone that we also mentioned before the game during yesterday's Current Sports and how she is transitioning now as a senior, being the starting point guard for this team, a role that she has never had before. And, you know, Anna, you know, she didn't have any points last night. She had 4 assists. You know, she tried one three-pointer, tried one shot from the field, wasn't really looking to assert herself offensively. That's not who Anna Morrissey is going to be this year, folks. Anna Morrissey, her role is to get others involved. When you have juggernauts like Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska, feed them the ball. She will get comfortable with that role as time goes on. So be it may, you know, you look at this, you may look at a stat sheet after a Michigan State women's basketball game and say, oh my goodness, Anna Morrissey didn't do anything. But she does it with how she gets others involved. So assist for her is something to pay attention to. And also, I think that this team, again, this team is only going to get better, folks. This is still the beginning of the season. And for Michigan State to compete against a Notre Dame caliber team, that says a lot. That says a lot where this program is going. That says a lot about the potential that they can have as the season goes on. And it's going to be a fun season, to say the least. And also, I think this is an interesting question that was brought up. Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal, he brought up an interesting question in a postgame presser for Susie Merchant. Now, he asked Susie whether or not Ariel Powers can become the face and the staple and one of the, I don't want to say the brand. That's totally not where I'm going. But you know what I'm saying. The just kind of the face of this program. And how far can she, you know, take this whole thing in being the face of the program? First off, can she? And you know, Susie kind of answered the question and said that I really hope she can, because you know Graham compared it to what Notre Dame, Skylar Diggins. Of course, Skylar Diggins was, you know, one of the best players in the nation when she played for Notre Dame. She's gone on to have a very good career in the WNBA, tearing it up. She's become a household name, not only in just women's basketball, but in women's sports in general. And you know, and she put a lot of attention on the Notre Dame program, made girls who are maybe the top prospects in the nation. She made girls believe, and in turn, people want to go to a program like that. Young girls who are good at the game of high school hoops, they want to go to a program where, you know, that's known and on the map and is having a lot of success. Skylar Diggins helped Notre Dame get to that sort of success that it is to that it currently has right now. So Graham sort of asked, you know, Susie if the program could have someone in like that in Ariel Powers. Now, that's a huge question that can only be answered with time. Don't get me wrong. I think Ariel Powers is the real deal. Ariel Powers is certainly amazing on the court. She has so much savvy. She works her butt off, and she's very, very talented. But as far as her, you know, becoming the staple of this program, putting Michigan State on the map, I think Michigan State is already on the map, but taking it to that level where you start to see Michigan State consistently in the conversation of being one of the best in the nation, I think that'll only time will tell with that one. Very interesting, though. Graham Couch actually has a sports column on that very ideal. You can check it out, of course, online or in the latest edition of the Lansing State Journal. Very interesting article and a very good take on it. Folks, let's hit our first break. Again, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll get to Mark D'Antonio. How about him being the second highest paid coach in all of college football? Very surprising stuff. We'll debate with that and also invite our guest DeAndre Carter on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about on today's show, I just finished giving my spiel and my take on the Notre Dame and Michigan State women's basketball game last night. Hey, also, I want to shout out, I would be remiss if I didn't, Jewel Lloyd of Notre Dame. She is also the real deal, folks. Jewel Lloyd is a guard for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. She actually had 28 points, 10 of 25, and also 11 rebounds. So it was almost like, you know, Lloyd and Powers had kind of a game within the game last night. They were both going at it, and Jewel Lloyd, she is very talented. You'll be hearing her name throughout the women's college basketball scene as well. She's going to be a special, special player, folks. But yeah, again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Really briefly here, I want to bring up something that was quite surprising to me when I got off the air, and one of our interns had mentioned it. By now, you guys know Mark D'Antonio is the second highest paid coach in the year of 2014. How about that? Again, $5.6 million this year is what D'Antonio is making, making him the second highest paid college football coach in the country. Now, he only trails Alabama's Nick Saban, former MSU coach, who was making $7.2 million in 2014. Now, you know, it's interesting because his pay is inflated. D'Antonio's pay is inflated by a $2 million, quote-unquote, stay bonus that kicked in when he remained on the job through January 15th of this year. Now, that bonus was put in place in 2011. D'Antonio got a raise this summer, bumping his salary from just less than $2 million annually to $3.6 million. Alex, you know, this is very surprising to me because I had no idea that D'Antonio was even in this conversation as being one of the highest paid in the nation. I knew that he was one of the highest paid in the Big Ten, without a doubt. Looking at the success that this program has had coming off a Rose Bowl, and you got that, he got the bonus. But, you know, I think this is one of those situations that D'Antonio is certainly rewarded for loyalty. Simple as that. You know, this stay bonus that was enacted this year, January 15th of this year, $2 million stay bonus for D'Antonio to stay with the program, is why he's one of the highest paid in the nation. I just think it's really cool that D'Antonio you know, got that bonus, because, you know, not often do you see, because normally in coaching realms, and you can even equate this to the pros, you know, you don't have stay bonuses. You don't hear about that often. You don't hear about a coach who's been with a program or a franchise for a long time that, you know, that individual is rewarded just for how long they've been there. D'Antonio, this is something that certainly is admirable. And, you know, when you are successful, the moolah rolls in. This is the politics of college football. This is the politics of sports. You know, when you win, yeah, it fattens that wallet, folks. So I just think it's a very cool situation that D'Antonio is in right now. Again, the second highest paid coach. If you want to know who rounds out the top five, I guess I can read them here. The top five highest paid coaches are Oklahoma's Bob Stoops. He's pulling in $5.1 million. Texas A&M's Kevin Sumlin, $5 million. Texas's Charlie Strong at $5 million as well. And Ohio State's Urban Meyer, he's sixth at $4.5 million. So you got two Big Ten coaches in this conversation as the top five highest paid coaches that there is. All right, folks, so let's get to our guest for today's current sports. He is certainly a friend of the show, and I tell you what, he has done something that I hope to do one day. It's really been on my heart. It has been for quite some time, and that's to write a book, folks. That's right. The man has his own book out. When you have your own book out, ladies and gents, you know that you've made it, okay? Let's just put it that way, all right? Here he is, DeAndre Carter. He's a producer of Motivational Moments right here on Current Sports and author of The Greatness Movement. He's going to tell us all about the book and so much more. DeAndre, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Al. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks for having me on the show. As always, I appreciate it. And, man, heard up.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I first want to dive into this book. Again, it's entitled The Greatness Movement. Right now, I've been looking on my Facebook, looking on my Twitter, and I've seen other people tweet about it, and it's a lot of buzz surrounded about it. First off, what placed it on your heart to write a book?
Well, it's a long story that I'll make short, Al. 15 years ago, a professor saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself, and that was the ability to inspire others. And to inspire means to breathe life into. And so I've been given the gift to breathe life into other people's dreams and hopes. And through my own story and my own experiences, I've been able to compile the information that's going to be put in my book. And it's actually called the Demand Greatness. And the Greatness Movement is what I'm looking to inspire and encourage as a result of the Demand Greatness book.
Gotta love that. All right, DC. Now, you know, how do you go about it? I want to dive into the craft of motivational speaking, because I think it's really different and cool you know, what guys like you do. I mean, motivating individuals who may be lost in life, maybe trying to find their way, find what their passion is, find what their purpose is down here. How do you go about motivating different groups of people, and do you attack it differently based on the demographic that you are speaking to?
Oh, Al, I think that any expert in communication would tell you you always have to tailor your message to your audience. So I am definitely not a one-size-fits-all or a cookie-cutter approach type of guy. I am always assessing what this group needs or what this individual needs and how I can present a solution. And so I think that, again, I've been blessed with a gift that I want to give to others. And, in fact, I just read a quote today that at times in life, all of our fire burns out until we come in contact with another man or woman who lights the fire again. And I just like the feeling that I get when I'm the opportunity to be that person that lights somebody else's fire and gets them back on their path of purpose.
Yes, that is certainly true. And, you know, it's strangers to letting everybody know how big of a sports fan you are, DC. I tell you what, you're a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan as well. Now, you know, have you ever talked to athletes, DC? And, you know, if you haven't or if you have, I mean, how do you go about motivating them? I mean, and what I always wanted to ask this question to you, too, because I think, you know, I know you're a big fan of sports, and you've probably seen coaches have their pregame speeches, their postgame speeches, even in movies like Remember the Titans and so on and so forth. And what makes a solid pregame and postgame speech?
Well, I think the main thing is focus. I think that, Al, that every one of us, every listener who's hearing us right now live on the radio and those that are going to hear us later on when they come and listen to the recording of your show, every one of us is literally unstoppable when we are also focused 100% on our goal or our mission at that point in time. And so a great speech is about galvanizing focus. I mean, on a daily basis, hundreds of things are going on around us. You know, if you're driving down the street, there are other cars on the road, there are people or pedestrians walking, there's just so many different things. But you know that you have to focus on the road ahead of you if you're to get to where you're trying to go. And so a great pregame speech is just focus on getting to that end goal, getting to that victory, doing what it takes to make that happen. And I think the great coaches are able to tune out the distractions and help their teams tune in. And so to answer your question, I have spoken to athletes both on the high school level. I've spoken to college athletes individually, and I have a few friends who are in several different pro sports. I'm looking forward to that, to the day where that's a more consistent thing, where I'm speaking to, of course, my Steelers. I would love the opportunity.
And
what the Steelers don't know, I've given them many speeches. They just haven't heard them. They're in my living room as I was trying to inspire them to win that next game. And I look forward to the opportunity of actually being live in front of NFL teams, NBA teams, D1 college programs, and high school students across this country.
Yes, certainly, DC. Well, you are definitely on your way, my man. And, you know, when you talk about the dynamic of athletes, I mean, you know, it's so interesting to dive into the mentality of an athlete. You know, we've had actually a sports psychologist on the show to talk about, because some athletes, you know, have troubles in the clutch, you know, maybe hitting that big free throw or coming through in that big moment or just in anxiety before a game. Now, that's from the psychological standpoint, and what you do is also in that realm because you're trying to pep them up, get that adrenaline going to get them focused and hone in on why they are out there. So for an athlete, I mean, how do you attack that? You talk about motivating different audiences, knowing your audience. From an athlete perspective, how do you attack that?
Well, I think for anyone, but to be specific with athletes, you have to trust your preparation process. The many games are won before you step on the field, before you step on the court, before you get on the ice. It's done in your preparation. It's done in your study. The hockey legend Wayne Gretzky was famous for saying, "I don't skate where the puck is. I skate where it's going to." And that's based off of the research and the film study that he had done, knowing the tendencies. And I think about the Super Bowl. This is going some years back when the New Orleans Saints were playing the Indianapolis Colts. And Tracy Porter had read film that when the Colts go in a certain formation, that Reggie Wayne is going to run a hook route. And he was able to jump the route, get a pick six, and when the Super Bowl pretty much ended, he wasn't focused on this is the all-time great Peyton Manning. He was focused on, I've prepared for my moment. My moment is here. Now I have to execute. And that's the thing I love about athletics is because it's a microcosm of life. If we are constantly preparing for an opportunity that doesn't exist, when that opportunity does come, we'll be able to seize it. And so I admire all athletes at all levels because the level of dedication it takes to prepare is amazing. The level of innate talent that they have is inspiring, and their execution is something that we can all learn from.
Gotta love that. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with DeAndre Carter, producer of Motivational Moments right here on Current Sports, and also the author of the Demand Greatness book, folks. Now, DeAndre, what makes your book different from other self-help motivational books out there? What differentiates what you're doing here in this piece of work?
There are a few things, Al, and the first thing is that this is my story. And in writing the book, you know, you go through ups and downs in writing a book. You die, just like you said, there are hundreds of other authors. There's Anthony Robbins, Eric Thomas, Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. And in one moment, I realized that, you know, what would make people read my book? I'm just a skinny kid from Detroit, you know, trying to share a message. And I feel like a voice told me that nobody has your story. And that's what's different. And number one. Number two, what's different is that I take a different approach. I call it the GPS approach, the success GPS. That I understand that the difference between a GPS and a map is that the GPS has the ability to tell you where you are. And the direction you need in life is not only based on your destination, but it's based on your location. So that right now, if you're at the studio and someone called you and said, Al, I need directions. How can I get to the studio? The first question you're going to ask them is, where are you? And so my book helps you to locate, where are you? You know, I believe there's four stages in life that we are at. And based on where you're at, then I give you steps from that point in which you're at to get to the next level. Because we are not all at the same pace or at the same place in our lives. So my book will give you instructions based on where you're at that current moment, but also equip you to help to give instructions to others as well.
Oh, boy, that is such a great message, DC. So upon reading this book, I mean, when people get done to that final page, close it and put it on a coffee table, what do you want them to take away? What do you want to run through that noggin?
I want them to, every day from that point forward, dedicate themselves to greatness. And I define greatness as giving your very, very best at what it is that you're doing. I have a four-year-old daughter. And that's what I teach her. I say, you got to use your greatness. She might be zipping up her coat. I'm saying, baby, use your greatness. Zip that coat up. I know it's a little giving you a little trouble, but you got to focus in. So I'm trying to help every person. Because I'd say like this, that if everybody was pursuing purpose and living greatness, life would be better for each of us. A lot of negative things in life wouldn't happen. A lot of the challenges that people are facing, they'd be able to overcome them. And so, and that's why I'm looking to inspire what I call a greatness movement. And so we'll have a website available where people will begin to share their experiences once they read the book, so that this book is not only a book, it's not just, you know, a piece of literature, this book is a catalyst for inspiring generations to begin to achieve greatness. And that's why it's called the Greatness Movement, because your life is going to be on the move. When you read this book, you won't be able to sit still. You're going to be on the move. So that's why it's called the Greatness Movement. And that's what I want people to do. I want to put that book down and begin to live their life at a higher level and inspire others to do the same.
Now, DC, in your line of work, I tell you what, you got to touch a lot of people. And I want to know what the moment for you, just for DeAndre Carter, is like when you've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, someone maybe after you're done speaking, or even years down the line, maybe the next month or two, I don't know, when they come back and say, hey, you really changed my life and you impacted the way I think. Thank you for that. Have you ever had a moment like that? And what is that like?
I've had several moments like that. It's more humbling than you can know, because I believe that when I speak, lives change. And that's the mentality I go into every presentation. I have a speech tonight at 7:00. Here on the campus of Michigan State at the MSU Union on the second floor. And I go into it, the preparation of however many souls walk into that room, that many will walk out changed. I also have a speech on Saturday in Detroit at 5:30 in my hometown, and I'm going with that same approach. And what I feed off of is people letting me know that the message stuck with them. So the greatest compliments that I get is when somebody has come up, like you said, sometimes, a lot of times it's immediately after, but I've had people come up 5 years, 8 years, 10 years after and say, I remember when you said diamond time. I remember when you said, and they'll list a specific quote that I gave them. And they let me know that not only did they, enjoy that in the moment, but they took that moment with them and they stretched it out to create momentum in their lives. And so that's humbling, that's inspiring, and I'm excited to have an opportunity to do that tonight, Saturday, and many other chances in the future as well.
Oh, boy, DeAndre Carter, producer of Motivational Moments right here on Current Sports, and also author of the Grand Demand Greatness book. Gotta love that. So, DC, before we're running short on time here, but before we get off the air, I want to give you the chance to let people know how they can get the book, all that kind of stuff. So go ahead, my man.
Absolutely. I know we're doing a crowdfunding website. It's on Indiegogo. That is Indiegogo. Indiegogo.com. You type in Demand Greatness. Our link will pop up. And there you can see that there are donation levels. And with each donation level, I'll make sure that you get the book, because my goal is to get the book. The reason that we're doing the website is we're raising money to be able to give to the publisher to get the publishing process started. So you can get your copy of the book. In fact, right now, if anybody sends me your email address, demandgreatness@gmail.com, I'll make sure to shoot you a free preview of the book right now. We'll get that out to you. But if you want to pre-order the book, you go to Indiegogo.com and you type in Demand Greatness. And you'll see my picture. You click on the link. You can read all the information there. You can pre-order your book. We appreciate every contribution. We're excited about being able to change lives, and I encourage everybody to do that. And also make sure to email me at demandgreatness.com so you can get your demandgreatness@gmail.com and get your free preview that we want to send out to you immediately.
Yeah, folks, and I tell you what, I've taken a peek at it, and yeah, you're going to want this book, without a doubt. All right, DC.
I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks a lot for coming on again. DeAndre Carter, producer of Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter here on Current Sports. I tell you what, we got a hot one coming for you on that one, too, so you want to stay tuned and keep it locked to Current Sports Radio, folks. And again, author of the Demand Greatness book. Gotta love
thank
that, DC. Appreciate it, my man.
I appreciate you more, man.
All right.
That's great.
All right, my man, gotta love that. DC, man, if you ever met him, I mean, one of the most inspirational dudes you ever want to meet. A ball of energy, to say the least, all right? All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by looking back in time. Yeah, throwback Thursday. Let's take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. And what's going on with my Pistons, man? Yeah, we'll talk about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Current Sports. Our phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527, about 15, well, I'd say about 13 minutes left in the show now. I want to give a shout-out really briefly here to an individual I met at last night's Michigan State-Notre Dame game. Shout-out to Mike. Mike is a very, very, very cool guy, down-to-earth guy. He, you know, when I was walking by to talk to my intern, he snagged me and said, "Hey, I listen to Current Sports every single day." So, Mike, thanks a lot for your for the support, and everyone out there who listens to Current Sports on the daily. We really, really appreciate it. Really love that. All right. Well, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. We have a caller here on line one. It's our good pal Ray. How you doing, Ray?
All right, Skipper, how you doing?
Hey, I can't complain, Ray. I'm alive and living. It's a good day.
Yeah, especially Buffalo. 6 feet of snow, and they're expecting 3 more feet. Can you believe they're going to still try to play that game?
I'm telling you, man. I'm looking here, and it says 75 inches. Sad stuff, too. I mean, 8 people dead, 36 more inches expected. Oh, boy, prayers go out to Buffalo, New York.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
You think they could play that game under those conditions? I don't see it.
It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. I don't see that happening, at least right now, at least.
Hey, I remember you talking a few weeks ago, and I wanted to bring up about a man that was discarded his whole life, but he always believed in Jesus, and he always, even when he won or lost, he always thanked Jesus for dying on the cross for his sins, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner is great, isn't he?
He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks of all in the history of the NFL. You know why I'm going to say that?
Yeah, he's that good. I remember watching Kurt. I remember watching Kurt when he was actually quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the greatest turf on show. But do you know the history of that movie when it comes out? It talks about nobody wanted him in high school. He didn't play, I don't think, until his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted him in college. He didn't get recruited by anybody, and he had to end up going to a lowly Northern Iowa. And he didn't play till his senior year, and he broke all the records. Then he didn't get drafted in the NFL, and he went behind a guy named Brett Favre. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. I think we all know him.
And another top quarterback, and they finally wanted him to go into a game, and he said, I'm not ready, and they cut him.
Yeah.
They cut him, and then he had to go to Arena Football, stock groceries, and then he thought he blew it against the St. Louis Rams. He called his wife. There's a whole bunch of that movie that's coming out. His wife was in the Marines, and she a tornado killed her parents. There's a whole bunch of tragedy, but this guy, the love he shows for Jesus, for doing the things he does, he's built all kinds of things since he retired. You know, people that are down on their luck, you know, houses and gives them to them.
Very philanthropic man. So they're making a movie about Kurt Warner's life then?
Yes.
I did not know that. When is that scheduled to release?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out right today. They haven't got the actors yet, but I think they're waiting to see if he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, which I think he'll be a shoe-in, you know, because, you know, the three passing records of all Super Bowl history, he was 1 and 2, but he couldn't play defense, too. You know who's got the top three passing records in Super Bowl history?
Who is that?
Kurt Warner.
All three of them?
The top three.
Wow.
He was in three Super Bowls, the top three.
That is pretty interesting stuff. So, yeah, I'm looking right here, actually, that the Kurt Warner story movie casting is still going on. Like you said, they're still trying to pick actors for it. But it looks as though 20th Century Fox has actually bought the movie rights to producing that very movie. So, yes, it should be coming soon, I hope.
You know, his daughter, you know, they met in a bar, and he was dancing with her for hours and hours, and he really fell in love with her, you know. And then he went over to his house next day, and this retarded child come to the door. And she said, well, I'm not looking for just a boyfriend, you know. And they, after her parents died, she said, you don't love me, you know, like, you know, you might as well get rid of him. I'm just going to be girlfriend, boyfriend. He ended up marrying her. But this retarded child wrote notes to him, you know, before he got blown out by New England. And they were saying that it was the worst team in Super Bowl history ever going to get in the playoffs. And he took him to the Super Bowl, and he had the lead with 2 minutes, and he almost took him down with 30 seconds left. And
wow.
The Hail Mary pass, it was they
Ray, this
took
is,
him at the ball.
Ray, you know a lot about – am I talking with Ray Warner here? You know a lot about this man. That's unbelievable.
Well, I loved him because he said a lot of great things about God.
Gotcha.
You know, and,
gotcha.
You know, a lot of people get offended by that, but, you know, he created us. He can take us home at any time. That's what I was trying to tell the University of Michigan, but they didn't want to listen.
Right, Ray, gotta love Ray. Ray, I tell you what, man, it's like a roller coaster, Alex. Whenever Ray is on, I just strap in and I'm saying, okay, where is this ride going to take us, huh?
that's right, man. Yeah, I mean, he obviously has some Michigan fervor, but
right. I think we faded him out at the right time. He got in what he wanted to say, right. But right at the right time.
We tell him every week that you can't talk about Michigan.
I say, Ray, don't bash U of M, man. You know, our broadcast stems out to Ann Arbor, too. We got to be unbiased here. And lo and behold, I was waiting on the Michigan rant. Good fade out. That was a good timely fade out, Alex.
Yeah,
good stuff. You were quick
again
on that. All right. Well, with about 5 minutes left in the show, let's go to our very special segment here each and every Thursday. We like to take a trip back into time, into sports history, folks. So let's hop into our current sports time machine and look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. We like to call it Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks. Well, it is Thursday here on Current Sports. Throwback Thursday time, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Well, let's kick this thing off with 1942. Yes, the National Hockey League, the NHL, ended their regular season overtime until World War II was over. Wow, how fitting is that, seeing as though Veterans Day was last week? My goodness. Again, hats off to all of those who have served our great country or are currently serving our great country. You guys are the real heroes. Really, what a moment. 1942, the NHL, ending their regular season until World War II was over. All right, 1962, Mickey Mantle was named the American League Most Valuable Player for the not one, not two, but third time. How about that? 1962, Mickey Mantle, one of the greats. 1965, Chick Hearn began a 3,000-game streak of play-by-play calls for the Los Angeles Lakers. 3,000 games, folks. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of time. Chick Hearn, a broadcasting legend. That's a lot of games. Oh, boy. All right, 1997. How about A.C. Green, huh? He played his 907th straight game for the Dallas Mavericks. I tell you what, you just don't see loyalty like that in sports anymore. That's a long tenure with one franchise. And how about 1997? Eric Lindros of the Philadelphia Flyers tried to bite. Yeah, he was like Tyson on this game, folks. He tried to bite Marty McSorley of the San Jose Sharks. Listen to this.
I don't know what else you want me to say.
How would you bite somebody in the head?
That's pretty tough to do. Just put the mouth guard in, too. I mean, it's kind of tough. There's no truth to that.
Brian Burke is reviewing it. I'm sure he's going to talk with Eric and with Bobby Clark and with our management, and I think it's best that we let the league handle it and let the league make a comment about it. I think that's the way I would want it handled if I was in a situation like that.
I think Eric Lindros might actually be Eric Tyson. Yeah, but you know what? The NHL, there was much debate about it, but the NHL ultimately ruled that there was no bite. So, how about that? Really crazy moment, though. Again, that took place in 1997. All right, 1969, Pelé scored his 1,000th career goal in a game played in Rio de Janeiro. I definitely want to take a trip there before I leave this earth. I heard it's beautiful out in Rio. Pelé, one of the greats. Many people consider Pelé to be actually the greatest soccer player of all time. All right, 1999, LT, LaDainian Tomlinson of TCU, rushed for an NCAA Division I-A record of 406 yards and four touchdowns in a 52-24 victory over UTEP. That actually is the second best rushing record in FBS history, seeing as though I think there's a guy out in, let's say, Alex, Wisconsin, that pretty much turned a lot of heads and broke that record. Isn't that – what if he would have played? What if Gordon would have played in that fourth quarter? I mean, just imagine how many yards he would have had.
Probably 500.
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah, easily, I think. I mean, he was just in a zone that day. But, yeah, that's LT. That was the record. That was the top record for most rushing yards in FBS Division I-A history. But, yeah, how about that, though? I think he's my leading candidate for the Heisman, I tell you that. All right, well, 2 minutes left in the show. Alex, man, I haven't heard from you much on the show. Happy Thursday, I guess, before we wrap up this.
Yeah,
man.
Happy right? Thursday. I'm doing all right, yeah. It's cold out there, not as much as Buffalo, but...
yeah, isn't that crazy?
Good for winter sports. Winter sports starting up now.
Yeah, and you know what? My sister shot me a text last night after I got off work, and she's like, hey, the family and I want to go on a ski trip. And I'm like, a ski trip?
What?
Yeah, up north. She's planning a family ski trip. I've never skied before. I hate the cold.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how this is going to go, man. I may have to sit that one out and act like, sis, I'm sick.
There's a first for everything.
There is a first for everything. We'll see how that works out. But, yeah, stay warm, though, folks. And, again, prayers out to Buffalo, New York, man. 75 inches of snow, 8 dead, 36 more inches expected. Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable. They are certainly in a state of emergency right now. All right, but thanks to all of you for tuning into today's Current Sports. Again, shout out to DeAndre Carter, friend of the show, motivational speaker. He's unbelievable. Again, we'll post links to how to, if you want to get that book, we'll post links as to how to do that. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.